Morning all. Just mindful in this moment of gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude for the life of God on the inside. Not the life of God at a distance somewhere, but the life of God on the inside. And it is, and we've been singing about this, it is a resurrection life. Amen. Amen, that's it. Amen. It is a resurrection life. The thing about resurrection life is it is not overcome by death. Resurrection life. And God has, by His Spirit, equipped and given to us His very life. His resurrection, overcoming, uplifting life. It is this life. It is this life that He came to gift to you and to me. And I'm so grateful this morning. Really, I'm not just saying this. It's true. In this moment, grateful for the kind of life that He came to gift to you and to me. Because it is His very life. And He has put in all of His people, by His Spirit, the equipping of His very own life. And His life is a life that is unconquerable. It rises and it rises and it rises. He's put His Spirit in His people. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Are you grateful this morning? I'm grateful this morning for Him and for His life. And here's the message. Didn't plan on this, but here it is. This is the message this morning. Are you listening? You've just heard it already. But this is it. Jesus is alive. Amen. In this moment, in your circumstance, in your life, Jesus, not just a belief in a doctrine, not just a concept or an idea or an understanding, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is alive. And He is alive and He is well. And if He's in you, He is alive and He's well in you. Oh, we're going to run out of voice this morning. Amen. It's worth it. He is an overcoming, living, conquering God. And He has chosen to come and to live and to indwell you by His Spirit. And it's wonderfully uplifting. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, the life of the Son of God in you and in me. Nothing less. Well, if I was into cheesiness, we could now all say nothing less, but we won't do that. But I mean it, there is a response to that. There is, yes, nothing less than this, than His life in you and in me. Unconquerable life of Christ. It's wonderful. It's good. It's good. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that it is His life that He has given to you and me. And it is by His life that He will continue to sustain and to provide for you. It is through His life that He will continue, hear this, to bring healing in your life. At your point of need, He, His life, will bring healing and will bring joy and will bring increasing release. For you and for me, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful that it doesn't come down to me, it doesn't come down to you, but it does come down to Him. And He has an unconquerable life, and He gifts it into you and into me. Wonderful. Wonderful. I want to talk this morning a bit, and this is it really, in a nutshell, but we're going to put some more words on it. I want to talk about seeing the invisible. Seeing the invisible. We've got eyes for all sorts, don't we? We do. We do. Particularly, I think, in our culture, in our generation, we live in a world of constant visual stimulation. The screens everywhere, I'm not knocking it, they're helpful in all sorts of different ways, but we know this. The screens everywhere. And there's multi-screening. There's all kinds of screening going on. Even in my house, which is not very tech savvy, we can get multi-screening going on in the evening sometimes in amongst trying to have a conversation. And it's just like, there is a tension over there. There is a tension over there. There's a tension here. And we're trying to have a conversation all at the same time. And it's like there's screens and there's visual stimulation. And there is attention-grabbing stuff going on all the time, even in my life, which is quite remarkable to me, but even in my life. So I don't know what it's like for you, but whether it's education, whether it's entertainment, whether it's advertising, whether it's our workplace, for most of us, screens are not far away. And we are encouraged to communicate through the visual. And although there may be great benefit in this, it is at the same time, it is possible in all of that visual stimulation to lose sight of the invisible. To lose sight of the invisible. And I want us to get a vision for the invisible. The invisible, if I can put it like this, the world of the invisible is more real than the visible. And we can lose sight of that. We can lose sight of that. That which is visible is temporal, it's passing, it's real, but it's passing. And there is an invisible reality. And I think we need to know the joy of the invisible. We need something other than our natural senses. God has given us an ability to see and to hear that which is spiritual. And it is even more real than that which is physical. And it is as we grow in these inner senses of the Spirit that we grow in faith and in confidence in God. That's why I want to talk about it this morning. Because as we grow in this way, as we grow in this awareness, we grow in faith and confidence in God. God has given us, by His Spirit, an ability to have eyes that see and ears that hear that are not just natural. Are many of you with me so far? It's true. Yes, thank you. Yes, it's true. And we can be exercised in these things. And I want to focus our attention this morning just on a few verses, really a principle, an understanding. But really, it's more than that. It's more than that. It is an ability by the Spirit to both see and hear the things of God. And we need this. We need this, don't we? Yes, Matt, we do. We need this. I'm going to read to us from the first letter, the first chapter of the first letter of John. So, 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to read down slowly a few verses here. And we understand that there is within this passage a referencing to, a walking with the Lord Jesus bodily, in time and place. But I want to draw out from this that there is more to it than that. And we'll find it in other places as well in the New Testament. But let's just read this down. What was from the beginning? What we have heard? What we have seen with our eyes? What we have looked at? And touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. And we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. And I just want to draw out this passage and really this kind of underlying principle. It is both the testimony of John in terms of his own life, but it is also the testimony of John and of others in another way. And it's this point here, and you find it all the way through these few verses. What was from the beginning? What was from the beginning? Or we could even say, if I can put it like this, who was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And it's this, that which we have seen, and not just physically, although that's also true in this case, but that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled, there is like an everyday accessibility and involvement. That which we have handled concerning the word of life, concerning him. That which we have touched, seen, heard. That we declare to you. That which has been made manifest to us. That which has been shown, if I can put it like this, that which has been made real to me, that which I've seen, that which I've heard, that I can declare to you. Are we getting this? That I can proclaim that, I can declare that, I can know that which I have seen and heard. Not that which I have necessarily just been told about or read in a book, but that which I've seen. There's a difference, isn't there? That which I have seen, that which I have heard, there is something, if I can put it like this, of experiencing the Son of God. That's the testimony here. There is something of the experiential life of God. I have experienced him. I have seen him. If I can put it like this, I have seen him by the Spirit. He has been revealed to me. He has been made known to me. It is personal. It is real. I can refer to it with a knowing, not just with a knowledge, but with a knowing. And it's wonderful. That which I have seen, that which I have heard, I declare to you. We have and can continue to experience him. Now that does not imply that we're always going around trying to whip up an experience. So that's not where we're going, and that is definitely not what I'm talking about. And I feel that there is a whole swathe of Christian involvement which has gone after an experience for its own sake, and we're not talking about that. But it must be true. It must be real that you and I, by the Spirit of God, experience something of him in personal reality. That there is something of the revelation of himself where it is as if we have seen and it is as if we have heard personally. Not just about him, but we've heard him speaking to us by the Spirit, and he's given us a revelation and an understanding of himself. And it is that reality, at the end of the day, it is that which we can proclaim, because it is that which you have. as your revelation and understanding of him, it's that that you have. And therefore, it is that which you can proclaim. And here's the question for us this morning. And there should be a delight in this. What have you seen? What have you heard? And it's a real question. And in a way, it's like, genuinely, I want to know the answer. It's like, we could all get up now, one at a time, and we could give some feedback. And it's like, guys, what have you seen? What have you heard? Because I'm telling you, if you know him, you've seen something of him. You've heard something of him. He has impacted your actual life. And I can say to you, Brother Tim, and this is a safe bet, because Tim knows the Lord. Brother Tim, what have you seen? What have you heard? And I know that he, out of his life, can proclaim to me that which he has seen and heard. Why? Because experientially, it has impacted his life, and I can see it written all over him. There is a declaration. There is a confession coming out of a life that has been impacted by Jesus Christ. It is not just a knowledge of him. It is a knowing of him. And I'm hungry for this. I'm hungry for this. For every single one of us. Some of us, we have heard of him as if from a distance. As if he's in another city, another town. And we've heard a rumor of this man, and he heals. And he makes whole and sets free. And I've heard about him. I've heard about him. And there's knowledge in that. But he's coming in another way. And he wants for every single one of us to know him personally and after the Spirit. To know him. To know him. I think this message, frankly, will just be the recurring theme of my life. It's all I got. Know him. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. He's there. Know him. Above everything else, in every circumstance, in every situation, primary, know him. In it. In it. Know him. What have you seen? And what have you heard? We proclaim that which we have seen and heard. You can only proclaim that which you have seen and heard. That which is your experience, that which is real to you, because you have seen it for yourself. We're not looking to share information, but we are looking to proclaim that which we have seen and touched and tasted and handled. This we proclaim. That which we have seen of him, that which we have heard of him, that which is real to us in a moment, that we proclaim. And that is worth proclamation. That is testimony to Jesus. That is the confession of a life. And it seems to me, quite honestly, it seems to me that what we need more and more and more in the church, in this church, in other churches, in this country, in this time of international crisis, what do we need? I'm telling you, if you can just cut me a bit of slack with this comment, we don't just need more knowledge. We do need more knowing. We do need more knowing. We do need more knowing of him, because it is as we know him in this personal, real way that we have something to give, something to offer, something to proclaim. I'm not asking what you have read, and I'm into reading. I'm into books. I like books, but they're limited in their helpfulness. They're very helpful, but they're limited in their helpfulness. I'm not asking what books have you read, or what college have you been to, or what theological persuasion are you? You know, sometimes people, and I understand this, but we can get really excited about theological positions about stuff, can't we? We can kind of forge through on certain theological doctrine, and it's just like, I'm right, I know and I can show you why. And it's like I'm strong in my theology and my doctrine, and I'm going to give you my doctrine. And it's just like, I'm into doctrine, it's great. But let me tell you, you can have all the doctrine you like and lack a knowing of Jesus. You can. You can. And I'm hungry. I'm hungry for him, and I'm hungry for us to be knowing him beyond our words, beyond our theology. We can, at the push of a button, access the libraries of the world. And there is so much information, but it is not the same thing as revelation. It is not the same thing as the manifested experience of the Son of God. Seeing the invisible. I don't see him with these eyes. Do you? But let me tell you, I do see him. Seeing him, seeing that which is invisible. Do I hear him in my life as he leads and he guides and he speaks and he encourages? And is that real and vibrant and true? Yes. Yes. Not so much with these ears, but he has given us spiritual ears, if you like, whereby we can hear and know him after the Spirit. And it is this knowledge of him, this walking with him, this communication with him that gives us strength to continue to move forward, to continue to grow, to continue to grow in faith. There is a difference between knowing about him and knowing him. You've probably heard that many times. But it's true. It's true. There is a world of difference. There is a world of difference between knowing about him and knowing him. This knowing of God, why am I talking about this? One of the reasons is this, that this knowing of God, this seeing the invisible, this will keep you strong when things are hard, when things are difficult. There will be a grounding in your life which is more than theological, it is relational. And we're after this, aren't we? Yes, we are. We're after this. And it will give you strength. Because he will be our strength. He will be our enabling as he continues to be our life. Not just our thought life, but our spiritual vitality. He will be that to us. You know, I was reminded when I was thinking of this, I might have told you this story before, but I'm always struck by this. I always remember a situation that I was in with a friend of mine years ago. And he was talking to me. He was a very clever guy, and he was a Christian guy, but he was pretty philosophical as well in his approach to things. And we were just walking along one day, chatting, and he was sharing some things with me, and he was saying, out of his theology, out of his thinking, and he was thinking into the future, and thinking, Matt, what if one day somebody came along to me in my old age and they could convince me with a different argument, a different theology, that everything that I believe isn't true. And it was really shaking him. It was really shaking him. And do you know why? The reason it was shaking him is because he had a huge amount of theological knowledge, but he did not have very much heart knowing of God. Can you see the difference that I'm trying to highlight for us this morning? And it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Because if there is that personal knowing of God after the Spirit, I don't care how old you are, how long you have walked, what the arguments are. And you might get all kind of theologically trapped by somebody else with a greater mind. That can happen, I know. But when there is a knowing in your heart of the person of the Son of God, that is irrefutable. It is. It is irrefutable. And I know people, surprisingly, I know people who are great minds and intellects, and they could argue all kinds of things, and much better than I can, but when it comes down to it, I am grateful to God. He has gifted to me a knowing of Him. And that is what He has for every single one of His children, that you may know Him. Not just about Him, but that you may know Him. And when you know Him after the Spirit, that is like an immovable rock in your life. It is. It is. For all the arguments, for all the questions, for all the machinations of minds, when you know Him, there can be something in you so strong where you know that you know that you know Him. Amen. Amen. And He gave His life for this. He gave His life for this. Not for your increase in knowledge and information, but that you and I might know Him in this way. And let me tell you, there is a world of people that are in need of this knowing of the Son of God. And it is as we know Him in this way that we can proclaim Him. It is. And it's rich and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. I'm going to just read a little something to us that highlights this point much better. This is from my friend Les. And this is a recent devotional book that he's written. It's very helpful. And just read down. It starts really with a bit that's not original to him, but we'll go on from there. So listen to this. The man who has an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. There are many intellectuals who can tie believers in knots and make them look foolish, but these believers will in the end still cry out, "One thing I know. Once I was blind. But now I see." This does not mean that believing in God is for those who have no education or are weak-minded. There are many intellectuals, such as C.S. Lewis, who could debate the strongest minds and win. But God wants to remove all doubt about Himself and eternity by simply making Himself known in power and love by the giving us the Holy Spirit. Amen. By giving us the Holy Spirit, we know Him in this way after the Spirit. We do. We do. And then a man with an experience is not at the mercy of the man with an argument. He isn't, because all the arguments come to an end. They all cease. And there is this abiding reality. And we heard it there, "This one thing I know. Once I was blind. Once I was blind, but now I have sight." That is an experience spiritually. For some people it's been an experience physically. But that is a spiritual experience. And frankly, the reason that I can speak about this is because that is my spiritual experience. And if you know Him, that is your spiritual experience. This one thing. Isn't it good that you can have one thing? I like it anyway. It's good for me. This one thing I know. I know in my experience, in my life, and I'm not preaching my experience, I'm preaching Him. But I know that it's impacted my life in reality. Why? Because I know that I was blind. I wasn't just blind, I was dead in my sin. Dead to the things of the Spirit. Dead to the life of God. I was utterly devoid of sight. Therefore, I know now that I can see. Because the world looks entirely different to me. And that is the impact of the life of the Son of God. This one thing I know. If I know nothing else, this one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. I see that which you have seen, that which you have heard, that which is real to you, that you will proclaim that. You will proclaim that. And that is wonderful. It's wonderful. We're going to... I want to just look briefly. A little passage in Acts. And really it's just making the same point. And just want to read it. This is out of the life of Paul. And... we're going to be looking at it in a particular way, but it, I believe, is consistent with Scripture and with his life. And I'm going to read down from verse 12. And so he has been speaking to the Jews about what's happened, his testimony in his life, what's happened to him. And he's communicating this, and he says, a certain man, Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law, and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him and he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from him, from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what? Of what you have seen and what you have heard. And again, as in the passage in 1 John, this has a particular reference, but it also, to me, has a broader reference. And you can see this in speaking here. And he says, it's appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one, Jesus, to see him. It is appointed to you to see him and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now that is true of all men. That principle, it was true for him in a particular way, but it has been appointed for you to see the righteous one. And not just with these eyes, but spiritually, to see him. To see him. For that to be real to you. For him to be revealed and made known to you increasingly. It's been appointed for you to see him. And to hear from him, from his mouth, his speaking out. It's been appointed to you to hear, to see and to hear. And as we continue to see and to hear from him, that we will proclaim. We will be witnesses. We will be witnesses to those things. It's wonderful. The way that the Spirit of God works in us and communicates Jesus to us, and that becomes real and personal in our lives. It is no longer abstract and distant. He himself. I'm just banging the same drum, and I know that, but hear it. He himself becomes personally real to me in a whole new way. And as that happens, and as it continues to happen in my life, I continue to proclaim him. in that which I have seen and heard. And he works in this way. And he works in this way by his Holy Spirit. quoting on my favourite people today, this is a quote that I've used before from Oswald Chambers, and I like it. And he says this: the Holy Spirit causes us to see Jesus as magnificent. The Holy Spirit does that, doesn't he? He does. He does. The Holy Spirit, part of the work of the Holy Spirit in you and in me, is that he enables us, he causes us to see Jesus as magnificent. As magnificent. He does that in us. We don't try and work ourselves up to that. We don't try and educate ourselves into that. But the work of the Holy Spirit, active in you and me, causes us to see Jesus as magnificent. He lifts him up in our estimation. And you know, one of the things that happens as that is real to you and to me is that everything else finds a lesser place in our perspective. Don't we need that? We do. We do. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He causes us to see Jesus. If I can put it like this, he causes us to see Jesus bigger than everything else in your life. Whatever those things are in your life. He enables you, he equips you by the power of the Holy Spirit to see Jesus bigger. Seems to me, thank you, Craig, nodding. It seems to me, Craig knows about this. It seems to me that you and me, we need increasingly a bigger vision of Jesus, don't we? We do. We do. I believe this with all my heart. I don't just want to learn knowledge about him, although I like that. But I want to increasingly learn a knowing of him after the Spirit. Because one of the things that happens as a consequence, as an extension of that activity in your heart and in your life, is that, if I can put it like this, without trying, he is bigger to you than everything else. And we need that. We need that. He is bigger to you than everything else. It is the person of the Holy Spirit that gives us eyes that see and ears that hear. We're going to look at some other stuff, but we're not going to do that. I think we're running out of time. But I want us to get this. It is the person of the Holy Spirit that gives us eyes that see and ears that hear. As we grow in our obedience, this is a key point, the activity of the Holy Spirit. If he leads, if he speaks, if he initiates, if he guides, and he does all of these things, key point, obedience to him. To him, to the inner voice of God. Obedience, as our obedience and sensitivity to the indwelling of the Spirit, as we are obedient to him, faith becomes the simple undercurrent of our life. What do you reckon? It's true. It's true. As we obey him, as we respond to him, as we are knowing him, there comes an ease of faith into your life. Why? Because in your estimation, Jesus is bigger than your circumstance. Jesus is bigger than your situation. And that reality becomes the undercurrent of your life. That's good, isn't it? It is. It enables us to live and to walk, do you know what, with joy. Oh, difficulty. In difficulty, why? Because Jesus is bigger to me. Jesus is bigger to me. Why? Because of the working of the indwelling Spirit of God that he has gifted to you. Wonderful. Wonderful. Seeing the invisible. It says, there's a reference to this in Hebrews, famous chapter on faith, and really this is where we're going with this, but famous chapter on faith, and it talks about Moses, and that he endured as seeing him who is unseen, seeing the invisible. How do we endure? Seeing the invisible, seeing him who is unseen. How does that happen? By the indwelling reality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I want for us, really? I want for us to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our inner lives, more and more and more and more. That's what I want for me, to get to know him. I want to speak about him as a person, because he is a person. And that we can get to know this person, this Holy Spirit, increasingly in our inner life. And as we know him, he will increasingly cause us to see Jesus as bigger than everything else. That is faith. Isn't it? It is. It is. There comes an assurance and a confidence and a rock-like stability in your life, because my vision of him who is unseen is bigger than my vision of everything else that I see around me. Amen? Amen. Aren't you excited for this? I am. I am. It's wonderful that he calls us into a life that makes a difference. A life that makes a difference. Not just an understanding of a creed or a theology, but of a life, his life, in you and in me. Christ. Christ. Christ in me. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing together in a minute, Tim. Let's stand together. I really would love to pray for us. And here's the thing. If at any point after the meeting today or any other day, you want anybody to pray with you, just know that there is a wide open door to that, to be able to pray for one another, whether that's me, whether that's somebody that you know well that's here and you need encouragement, you need to be encouraged in your faith, in your response to the Lord. We can pray for one another. Me and Craig had a little time of this the other day. It was great, wasn't it? It was great. We just pray for one another. I want us to know there is such access to this simple togetherness with the Lord. And we can pray for one another. So I'm going to pray now. And we're going to sing. And just respond to the Lord from where we are. We can do that. We can't do anything else but respond to the Lord from where we are. So let's do that.